The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. And welcome to our program. I'm Bill Newell, along with Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, and Nick Giannino from the Salem News Sports Department and beyond, as we speak right now, doing more than just sports. But Phil, Nick, and Matt, welcome.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, thanks for having us, Phil.
All right. We are on the conference call, as you can tell, because like all responsible folks, we're social distancing, and so we're all on the conference call line. And so it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked, and I guess the big question, Phil, Nick, and Matt, would be, are we going to ever really come back and have spring sports? I know it's scheduled by the MIAA, but I don't know. What do you think?
Guys, I can go first here, but why don't we let you go first, and we'll chime in. I'm pretty sure we probably all have similar opinions on this. So,
yeah, okay. I think it's important to have a something to hope for. I think that's really important. If the powers that be, whether it's the MIAA or the board of directors, have just come out and said, you know what, we're scrapping the season. We're just going to try to start fresh in the fall and go with fall seasons. That makes a very trying and difficult situation that we are literally all facing that much worse for these student athletes, particularly the seniors who might have a graduation disrupted, a prom disrupted, all kinds of senior week activities. So I think the MIAA, you can certainly put holes in their balloon over a lot of different things. I think they've really done a nice job this time in trying to exhaust all possible avenues to make some semblance of a spring season happen, whether it's a shortened season or you only play for a sectional title, not a state title. They really want to try to make this work within a reasonable framework. Now, do I think that it will actually happen? If I were a betting man, I would say no, only because I think it's an optimistic timeline that schools will be back in session on May 4th, which would mean the games would start on May 11th. At this point, it's hard to say that's going to happen. Again, we're more than a month out, so you don't really know. We could see a tremendous break, so to speak, in this case, where the cases really come down and the curve gets flattened, and maybe it is ruled safe to go back, but it's certainly not going to be the way that we're used to, where you have crowds there and everybody huddled together. There would have to be all these guidelines put in place. And realistically, I don't see it happening. I hope it does, though, but I don't see it happening.
I'm just going to chime in very fast before we go to Matt and Nick. But, if there's one sports season where you could pull it off, it is the spring sports where, Phil, I know you've been at many lacrosse games and softball, Matt, and baseball, Matt, and Nick, but there's some social distancing at times for some of these sports in the spring with the cold weather and so on. So, they might be able to pull it off. Yeah.
Yeah, just piggybacking off what Phil said, I tend to agree. I don't necessarily think that we're going to get to a point where spring sports will be able to begin and start up. It just seems like every day we're getting farther and farther away from that. I know we, as a state and a country, we haven't really reached the peak here yet. Still trended in the wrong direction, so we got to keep doing what we're doing, in terms of socially distancing and all that good stuff to try and beat this thing. But I will say, I think that the MIAA and, I spoke with some Little League directors and local youth soccer directors. They're all working very hard. They all, are trying to come up with different plans and ways to work around this and get save some sort of season, whether that be at the high school level or Little League or youth soccer. But it seems like, all these directors and supervisors and boards are doing a great job meeting, every week or multiple times a week, and just taking it day by day and trying to come up with plans. You know, at this point, they have dates set, like Phil said, for what, next month, early May, seems to be the, you know, where they're, that they're reaching towards right now. But who's to say if in another 2 weeks that's going to be pushed back even further. So, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's good to be hopeful, and it's good to have these people still working diligently to try and make that happen.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to happen. If they go back to school, that's the thing. I think it's up to the governor.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's if they go to school, then they're going to play games. Now, will they be able to play 8 to 12 games, enough to have a state tournament, if they go back on, you know, May 18th or June 1st? Probably not. You know, maybe then you're talking about a week of practice and a few exhibition games, you know, 5 games. You know, I think certainly a 5-game season isn't a representative enough sample to have playoffs or champions or things like this. But I think that, you know, if they can, you know, if they can hold enough gatherings to put kids in class, then they can play. And so I think it's all tied to school. I think, you know, it's just very hard for me to believe that we're going to send all these kids home until September. I think that would just be devastating to the educational system outside of sports. And so I think at some point kids are going to be in school, and when they're in school, they're going to be playing. And, you know, I think to echo what you guys said, the MIAA has done a phenomenal job of adjusting to each of the governor's timelines and sort of just coming up with, okay, if this happens, that happens. If this happens, that happens. And sort of laying the groundwork, doing the yard work ahead of time. I know, you know, the athletic directors locally have been sort of towing that line in between, okay, we don't want to do too much work because we think the timeline might change and we don't want it to be a complete waste of time. But, you know, we do want to have some foundation set so that we can sort of, put up our frame on this house, so to speak. And then when we get the actual deadlines, we can start, you know, hanging the drywall on the shingles and things like that. So, you know, to me, that's just what it is. If they go to school or not, you know, the one wrinkle in that is just reading about Lynn today. You know, their superintendent says that, you know, they may not go back to school. So I guess, you know, you would hope that every, you know, if Governor Baker says go to school, you would hope that every town or, you know, organization in the Commonwealth is on the same page. It would be pretty awkward if, you know, okay, the state says it's okay, but, you know, this town says, well, we're going to keep our schools closed, and, you know, this town says, well, we're going to open on a different day. I mean, I think that sort of introduces some uncertainty. But, you know, assuming that every school just does what the governor says, and assuming that schools open sometime in the month of May, you know, I think we're going to see some sort of competition. You know, it just might not be, you know, what we hope for right now. But, you know, I mean, just speaking specifically about baseball, I mean, even if it's just a double elimination NEC tournament or a NEC Cal crossover tournament, I mean, you know, you got 24 teams, you make, you know, 3 brackets of 8, and, you know, hey, maybe you only get 2 games if you lose both your games, but that's certainly better than no games, or, you know, maybe you get guaranteed 3 games. Maybe every team has a scrimmage against its arch rival, you know, to have senior day before the tournament starts or something like that. So,
I like that because I think, not to cut you off, Willie, but I've never quite understood, the further we go with this, why state championships would matter. And, hey, that's easy for me to say. My athletic playing days have gone the way of the horse and carriage, but you know, to me, I think everyone could agree that's really not what's important if they do get back. Just being able to get back out there and, you know, let's say in the case of softball or baseball, putting that glove on, getting back out there, you know, putting the racket back in your hands in tennis or hitting the track again if you're, you know, a track and field athlete, lacrosse stick, rugby player, whatever. Just to be back out there, that is that's a victory in and of itself. You know, because let's face it, you know, if
if we were trying to put odds on this, you know, it might not even be 50-50 that they're going to play. So just to get back and play, I would think, would be fantastic. I don't know that there needs to be a state championship or even a sectional championship to have this be a successful season. In my thinking, if you're able to get out and play even a handful of games, that's a hell of a season. That's overcoming adversity. That's bonding together to come back and do something that you love. And you're getting some semblance of what it is that you care about rather than having the whole thing scrapped. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but that's how I see it.
You know, I was going to mention what Matt did about the Lynn schools and what their superintendent has said this week, which was a little surprising in light of what we're hearing from everybody else. But yet I understand it. And I think the fact is that if they don't go back to school, then I can't imagine they'll be out on the athletic field for sure. But on the other hand, and you, Phil, a long time ago, you mentioned the MIAA. And so we're a month out from even school coming back. Basically, it's 1 month out now. And the fact is that they put together a plan, figuring that maybe school will be back by May 5 or 4, whatever it was. I can't fault them for that. I think you'd be irresponsible not to have a plan. You have all these people. You have the ability to conference call and Zoom conference and all this. Let's put a plan together in case it does happen. You know, that makes sense. But you're right. I have a feeling that it won't come down to that.
Hope.
What's that?
It goes back to that initial thing of just giving people hope that, yes, we might have a season. All is not lost. You know, that's why I see so many athletic directors on social media and coaches saying, hey, make sure to get out, maintain social distancing, but try to get your reps in, you know, get out there for a run, throw, you know, the ball against your screen 100 times, you know, that kind of thing. Stay in shape. Because if we come back, we want to make the most of it. Yeah.
For sure. I think, too, the timing is just what matters. I mean, for, you know, I think it was really smart. They said, you know, if we come back on May 4th and there's a state tournament, you know, if you don't make it or if you get eliminated, right, you can keep playing right up until June 27th. If you can find, you know, scrimmage partners or teams that are also out, kind of like the non-playoff football games. And so I think that's great. Like, your conferences could maybe set up some important games, you know, after that, so that a team like, say, I don't know, I'm thinking of like the St. John's Prep baseball team, right? Like, they've won the Catholic Conference 100 times. They've been trying to win a state title for a very long time. All these kids, all their 4 years. I mean, to them, you know, if they just beat BC High and Xaverian, that doesn't really save what they're missing, you know, especially after what happened to them in December. They've really been thinking about winning this championship, you know, for someone special for a long time. So, you know, for them, if they can get some kind of state tournament that they can hang their head on, that'd be great. Whereas, you know, locally, I think for a team like, say, Swampscott baseball that has state tournament, state championship aspirations in Division III, well, if they were to win the NEC, which, you know, they haven't done in almost 25 years, and they beat higher division teams like Beverly and Danvers, I mean, I think to them, winning an NEC title is going to mean just as much as winning a state title. So I think it kind of depends on how tight-knit the league is and what kind of aspirations the team had going into the year.
Well, you know,
here's another question I had, too, is what kind of social distancing will be practiced if they do come back? And the first thing I think of is on the diamond. You know, you have a batter, a catcher, and an umpire, all within probably a, what, 3 to 4 foot radius? How does that change, you know, do umpires have to call balls and strikes differently? Does the batter have to stand quite a bit further up than the catcher? You know, are we going to have to change the way these sports are played? I mean, it sounds crazy, but maybe those are the provisions that you have to go back under. I don't know.
Face masks, Phil. I got it. Face masks.
Yeah, it could be. Players and athletes in South Korea, they're getting out there wearing face masks. I don't know if they're starting up leagues there yet or what, but apparently they have the situation under pretty good handle in South Korea. So, you know, I did see photos of athletes wearing masks.
I think another thing that athletic directors might have to grapple with is what if there are some student athletes or even their parents that just say, you know what? It's not worth the risk. I don't think that would be a lot, but I do think there might be some who just feel like, geez, we don't have a vaccine. You know, I'm not so sure about this. Are we rushing back into things? Maybe I'll sit this one out, especially if it's an underclassman where they say, you know what, I'll wait until next year and hopefully things will be better then. But again, it may not happen, but it could. And it could be another obstacle that schools are going to have to deal with.
Hmm. I mean, I just think, you know, I'm assuming that if they go back to school, that the CDC is not going to be enforcing all this distancing. So, like, the umpires are going to be okay. Hmm. Like, maybe they have to do some modified school plan where kids are sitting two or three desks apart. I don't know. But, I mean, if, you know, I'm assuming if they go back to school that they won't be so distanced, and you know, the desk next to yours is just as close as the umpire, right? So you know, but that is something that maybe they would have to come up with a different plan, you know, the one bat length apart on the bench or something like that. I mean, I know for the professionals, they're talking about, you know, instead of sitting guys in the dugout, sitting them in the empty stands, you know, five feet apart, you know, that kind of thing. I think
what do you do on a bus ride to an away game? You know, maybe one bench seat to a person, or maybe every other bench seat in a row, so you're not right behind somebody else, kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
if we're being honest,
it's not spreading, but
yeah, I don't see a scenario where did we get back to school this year. I just don't. For being completely honest, I know they have.
You say that as somebody who doesn't have any. Kids at home.
Hey, my mom's a teacher, so I sympathize. I do, you know. She's trying to come up with lesson plans at home and get students to log in, and it's challenging. But, you know, when does school normally end? Early June?
Usually mid to late June, yeah.
Yeah, unless they went to school, you know, in the summer and they pushed break somehow, I don't know. I just don't see them getting back in May. I know that's the date right now, but I think Lynn is on to something there.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, you look back and it was when all of this started, it was right after the basketball season basically ended quickly at one point back in March. And I remember watching the news one evening and watching the closings, the school closings in Revere closed all the way through the month of April, and no one had done that. People had closed for a day, maybe for a week or a few days, and Revere goes and closes for till the end of April, and people are going, and I'm going, what are these guys, crazy? I mean, it turns out, then they reversed their course on that. It turns out it was Everett, not Revere, my mistake, Everett. And then it turns out that they're basically were right on the money at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they had some good intel from Red Freddy.
I do think that's where, like, you know, hopefully the state is guiding, because it would be, you know, pie in the sky. It would be pretty chaotic if, you know, say three teams in the NEC weren't in school and, you know, these guys are trying to make their schedules and stuff. I mean, that would be pretty that would be pretty chaotic. So hopefully, you know, it's a statewide thing and everybody in the state, you know, if they get the okay, can go back.
Yeah.
Hey, let me switch notes here if we could here.
Like,
so
everything is predicated on, you know, the MIA and all these athletic departments and all. Everything is predicated on getting the okay from the governor. And he's obviously going to go with the information that he has on safety. No one is going to put anybody back in school where it's not 100% safe. So it's great that they have plans in place if it is to come back, and they've thought this through very well, and they can tweak things if they get the go-ahead. But right now, it's just a waiting game. What is this week, this month going to be like? Are we going to be at a point later in the month where we can say, you know what, I think it's safe to go back? It's all wait and see right now.
That's the thing, too. I think it's hard to say, oh, we can go back to school, but we're going to have to, you know, socially distance or wear masks. It's going to be almost impossible to, you know, enforce that on a state level. Whereas if everything's safe and we can go back without any of those regulations and guidelines, then that's a whole different story. But I just don't see a scenario where we can go back and have things be different at school. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to switch topics, if you could, just to wrap it up here. We got a few more minutes left here. But So have you guys watched anything on television regarding sports in the last couple of weeks, or read anything, or found anything interesting, any notes from, say, outside of just North Shore sports, and what's not happening? What's anything of interest, or anything? Have you seen anything good, if you will?
I did see either today or yesterday. You're going to love this one, Phil. They revised the calendar for the PGA Tour, so they pushed everything back and they set new dates for all those tournaments beginning in the fall, late summer.
I was stoked.
That's exciting.
I reworked my vacation calendar to reflect that. Actually.
I figured you would be all over this one.
Yeah, I was stoked.
Yeah.
Human resources at the Salem News got new vacation requests from Phil Stacey. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But
the Azalea Open is lovely in November.
So we got golf, and then I don't know if you guys read about the MLB and their plans to start something out in Phoenix with all the 30 teams.
Yeah, I did, and then another report came out earlier today that maybe they were jumping the gun a little bit. It's an exploratory thing. I mean, aren't they thinking of maybe playing the NBA playoffs in Vegas, or they talk about the NHL playoffs in North Dakota or up in Manchester,
right,
New Hampshire, or, you know, everything. It's no different than high school sports. Everything is pure speculation.
Yeah, same thing.
Everything is speculation. You know, we know that the NFL draft is still going on, but now they're worried about other teams might hack into their Zoom accounts during the draft and all. So
yeah, yeah, I heard that too.
That's something that already has enormous ratings and will be through the roof because it's an actual live event. It's not an actual game. It's an event in the sense that, you know, your team or whoever, you know, is going to be getting new players, and this one goes there and this team's trading to this one for, you know, so Belichick can get six more fourth rounders, you know, that kind of thing. As far as watching anything, you know, I've watched a little bit of the Nesson has been replaying, like, every game that leads up to the Stanley Cup run for the Bruins in 2011. I've been watching a little bit of that. To be honest with you, I'm probably like most people. I've been watching a lot of Netflix, different things, going back and watching some different movies I hadn't seen before, listening to a lot of music, and taking care of my kids, you know? I mean, that's it.
Now, have you watched The Tiger King? That's a big question.
I haven't yet, because I watched, I binge-watched Ozark. I got through that in about 3 days. And then I've just been kind of watching different stuff here and there elsewhere. I keep talking to my friends about it, and I'm saying, should I watch this? Because it's like what everybody's talking about, or if I watch this, am I going to be upset at myself that I allowed my brain to become more stupid by watching this? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Willie dove into it the other day. So well, I haven't started it yet.
Well, from my point of view, I have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm a mental guy, but I don't want to be like, yeah, you're watching it, Willie.
Yeah, there's only 7 of them, and they're only like 45 minutes, so I was kind of afraid when it started, like, you know, geez, it's a documentary, what is this, an hour, hour and a half, they're only 45 minutes, it's a real light, real snippet, but I mean, it's pretty bonkers, and, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if it's quite as, you know, good as, like, the social media would, you know, maybe be all-consuming or whatever, but it's pretty good. I mean, add them all up, it's probably, you know, 5 hours, and I mean, these days, that's really not a lot of time, so it's definitely worthwhile.
No, see, I didn't even know that. That makes it more appealing to me if it's shorter like that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I thought it was longer.
And it's really more, it's not really about the animals, you know, that's the other thing. I didn't want to see, like, a lot of gross, like, animal abuse type stuff. That's not
about. Exactly.
It's about the people. You don't get grossed out. There's not, you know, you don't see, like, any cats, like, getting abused, and it's really not about abuse. It's not, you know, the guy's not an abuser. It's really just about the people and how wacky they are, so...
Which is a...
Well, Guys, we had a line dropout issue here, but we're all back together again. So I'm going to let you guys wrap up with any final thoughts on this week's podcast. Well, let's go in reverse order. Nick, why don't you start? Any other thoughts on what we've just been talking about?
Well, I didn't tune in, but I did hear that Gronk hoisted the WWE heavyweight belt the other night. Was that a good draw? Should I watch the clip on YouTube or anything, or was that a waste of my time?
I saw a video with him and his girlfriend doing a music video. Was that good or not? It looked kind of lame, but there were some fun photos of the two of them. I saw that.
I didn't catch that either, but I don't know. I did see, like, you know, short clips from Gronk's thing, and it was weird watching because there's nobody in the stands, and it's like, you know, just the wrestlers out there, but it's still being announced. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of cool. I guess it had a big draw. A lot of people watched it. Willie, I'm sure you tuned in.
Looks like we lost Willie. Matt, are you there?
You guys, I can't really hear what you're saying. You kind of break up, but it's some about Gronk. He won the green belt. That's pretty good. You know, he was all right. Just, you know, wasn't really the best part of the show, but he was all right. And it'd be interesting to see if he sticks around, you know, full time. He's just a giant athletic guy. Like, he could probably be pretty famous if he wanted to be. You know, I mean, he's already famous, but, you know, make some money with Vince if he sticks around.
Yeah, Matt, you are breaking up, but we'll send it over to Phil for any other final thoughts from the executive sports editor here. Phil?
Yes. I just want to throw a shout-out to everybody that's, these first responders and doctors and nurses and firefighters and police and the grocery store workers, everyone that's working to keep people healthy and to try to keep this country moving. Thank you very much for that. And I also want to thank Willie and Nick, as well as all my colleagues at the Salem News, continuing to crank up the paper day after day, trying to get full stories that they need in the world during this tough time. It's not easy for any of us in any kind of work. What they say is true, that together we can get together. So, practice social distancing, stay safe.
Okay.
Hopefully, we'll see you in the funny pages soon.
All right. So, there they are. We are kind of breaking up on that conference call line, but Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, and Nick Giannino from the Salem News sports team. And I'm Bill Newell here on MSO News Sports and SalemNews.com. The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on MSONewsSports.com and SalemNews.com.